time again. You know what time it is. Do you know what time it is, James?
Hammer time?
Close. Hunter, what time is it?
Dude, discussion time.
Yes, you're right. It's number 12. Adam's
off. Yeah, here. Take that, James.
James, Hunter dropped the ball. He was supposed to do an incorrect response, and then Adam was going to pick it up and then slam it home.
Is it adventure time?
Yes! Yes! What time is it? It's number 12. We're here.
Is it tool time?
Yes!
There it is!
Oh my god.
I just want more creepy neighbors looking over my fence and giving me life advice.
Howdy, neighbor.
I would take that neighbor over my neighbors any day, because my backyard neighbors... I've got nothing against people of higher weights, but certain wardrobe choices and actions you maybe shouldn't do. Like, for instance...
Leggings.
When it's summertime, she is naked as she can be, and she is sunbathing in her backyard. And I don't understand. I think she understands how angles work, so our house is set a bit higher, so her fence does no good.
Oh, dear.
Next time she does that, just get a series of mirrors so you shine light into her eyes while she's sunbathing, so she looks over and just wave at her.
Well, I think they might be, like, swingers or exhibitionists, because there was another time...
Oh, man, do not draw their attention.
Yeah, exactly. Because there was another time that they... you can also can see directly into their house when they're... They have, like, a sliding glass back door, but if the blinds are all the way open...
This story's not going good places.
It's not. And the blinds were wide open, and her husband were doing husbandly and wifey things on their recliner in full view of me. I'm like, well, I'm going to go smoke in the front yard this time, because as fun as that is. Thanks, guys.
This was God going, hey, awful. You want cancer of the lungs? Have cancer of the eyes as well.
But we didn't come here to discuss about my bad choices of neighbors. We play some games.
Yeah, we do.
Some damn good ones this time. Well,
I don't know about that.
50%. Where are we going?
I don't even know about that. I'm getting like a 13% vibe.
You don't count.
You don't count at all.
Which one are we going first? What are we talking about?
Oh, let's start with that. Do we want to end positive?
Or everybody or just start positive all at the same time. That works too. Just shout it out there so it's just a blob of noise.
Did you say the positive one? Are we doing the positive one?
Let's let Adam choose. He is the selector.
You know what? Let's go with ActRaiser first.
All right.
Good choice. Good choice.
We're going to go with ActRaiser primarily because my SNES emulator crapped out on me.
No!
And I was unable to play any of my ROMs. And then I tried downloading another SNES emulator, and it didn't work with my SNES USB paddle.
Well, so
I apologize. I did some research on the game, and I watched videos on it, and I tried to be as familiar with the game as possible.
It happens.
Even though I hadn't played any of it.
Well, you missed
it. So I have a bunch of trivia on it. I don't know where you want to start.
Let's start with the trivia.
Drop some knowledge on us.
Okay, ActRaiser, 1990, made by Enix, which later became Square Enix after they bought Square, right? So we all know. The Japanese version names the protagonist God, and the antagonist is Satan. But in their blanket statement against overly religious themes or overt religious themes, they changed it to the Master and Tanzra. Da-da-dum.
Much better. The other one's a little on the nose.
Right, you have angels and floating cities, and so the game actually does change across various releases. North America changed the monster lairs to skull symbols instead of Stars of David. There were easier level designs. Wow. They nerfed some of the easier to play, but the simulation segments, the whole SimCity part, they actually made that harder for the North American release. And they added a professional mode for completionists who finished the game, and it featured just the action modes, but at the original Japanese difficulty, which I thought was kind of funny.
Excellent.
The European releases were mainly changed in the action modes, and with a lot of different difficulty varieties. So kind of what they did with Ninja Gaiden when they released Black, they released easier difficulties and then even harder difficulties than the Japanese version. The score, the music, was popular enough. It earned a CD release in Japan. Which sold really well. It sold 620,000 copies worldwide, not the CD, but the game itself. Screw Attack blog, they ranked it number one in their top 10 big names that fell off. So games that were like hugely popular at the time that kind of lost their popularity.
See ActRaiser 2 for details.
Oh, yeah. James, we're looking over the ROM files, and James is like, hey, there's an ActRaiser 2. And I'm like, Jesus, it's Christmas. You've made my life. And then I played it, and I'm like, you're a bad person, and why do you hate me?
Coal in your stocking.
Holy shit, it was awful. Unplayably bad.
Final game note, the wizard, your fourth boss, I was watching some of the gameplay videos. That's a complete Castlevania Dracula ripoff. You, even to the opening of the robe and the shooting the three fireballs. Like, yeah. Wait a minute. And he even has a second form, which that Dracula did. So yes, I was kind of pissed about that. But, Dave, okay, coming from a guy who didn't actually get to play the game, I loved the design. I thought the gameplay meshed really weirdly well, watching the videos and the music and everything, how it would go from the city building. Because of the storyline, did the other two, Hunter, James, did you guys actually like dip into the story at all?
Yeah. More or less, actually. Wasn't he reincarnated to a place where monsters ruled the entire world, so we had to kill off all the monsters so that people could reign again?
Okay, pretty much. So God had a battle with Satan. He lost. Satan and his six lieutenants like beat him bloody. He went and kind of recovered, and by the time he came out of his little godly stasis, they had taken over. And so it was up to him, his angels, and his statue that you actually play to conquer those six realms back from the lieutenants and then defeat Satan.
His statue. Wait, what's yeah. that?
Yeah, yeah. That's your little soldier guy that you're fighting with.
Yeah, the little, you know, your little ball of light comes down and you go into it. And you start yeah. each action level.
Okay, yeah, so that's your statue, right?
Yeah, that's not good.
And initially, the symbols were Stars of David.
Yep.
So you're playing as a golem.
yeah, you're pretty much right.
Not like by the popular fantasy version, but like the old Jewish definition of golem,
right? Yep.
That's weird.
I'm just a murderous pile of rock. Oh, another little trivia thing. The composer, I had to look it up because, man, this music was top quality, especially for this day. He also composed the score for the first Sonic the Hedgehog.
Wow. I didn't catch that.
Yeah, if you look at his like Workopedia, I don't know ever how my internet laid it out. It's like he did Sonic a year after this game.
Nice.
And the music was fantastic, and it gets me going every time.
Yeah, I really liked the music. Just watching it, reading the storyline, watching the gameplay and everything, I thought this would have been prime 1980s epic fantasy material. Like, had it came out as books, like in a series of six, oh, man, that would have been amazing. I would have loved to have read that. Like, I weirdly was kind of digging this whole game and really sad I didn't get to play it. I was like, man, as awful as it sounds to mix a SimCity with a side scroller, it worked. Like, I was kind of into it.
Yeah, the gameplay is pretty top notch because everything you do in the overworld SimCity stuff like carries over into your action stuff. Like, oh, you've leveled up, so now you have more health, or you find an extra spell. Like, there's
okay,
yeah,
they're not independent of each other.
So we've gotten all the trivia and such from Adam. Yeah, let's mm-hmm, do the good of the game, Dave.
Oh, the good of the game? All right. I mean, you'll have to cut me off. There's so much. I mean, the music. It's like when you know, the second coming happens, it's going to be to that opening score. I'm pretty sure the Japanese, they were onto something with that. So yeah, the music's awesome. I love the blend. Like, you'd never seen anything like that before.
Yeah.
Or sense, really. Mixing,
I'd agree with,
mixing
yeah,
the two
I'd agree.
Genres.
The combination of side-scrolling platformer and top-down world building? Pretty unique.
Really, yeah.
And then the variety of bosses. They were all pretty wildly different in their patterns and attacks and what works and what doesn't.
Never felt like I was fighting the same person. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In the video, I don't know how you beat some of those, especially that freaking manticore that's hopping around left to right.
Yeah, for the, see, that's in the blood pool area. Blood yeah. pool, which is level 2-1. when he's jumping up and down those platforms, and he shoots a fireball each time he jumps, essentially when you want to get underneath him, So as he comes down, you smack him two or three times, and then you jump up as he jumps down, and you keep cycling back and forth across the screen like that.
Okay, because there was a strat that actually had you sitting at the top and just kind of avoiding fireballs and warning, don't be greedy. And it takes a while, but they say it's like super simple to do it that way.
You can do it that way. It just takes way longer, and I'm too impatient. I'm like, ah, fuck this. Good God.
Like, the speed run was like several hours, so I don't know how you completed it at all.
I
would still be playing it, but
I guess let's rotate through and see who, I mean, excluding Adam, but yeah, I finished it off. I beat it as a kid too. I think I was maybe 12-ish at the, no, I would have been 11 in 91. Yeah, 11 or 12, something like that, when this game came out. And there was like no internet, no fanfare. Like, you kind of had to discover stuff word of mouth or just find it. And so my dad was a truck driver, and he's like, well, I'm gone a lot. I'm going to fill these sadness holes in you with video games. And he brought home a bunch of just like shit that Walmart was like $5 whatever clearance bin. And ActRaiser was one of the things in said clearance bin. And did not deserve to be in there. And then like whole next, like, we went to grandma's house and like, hey, you want to go to church? I'm like, no, I'm not at a church. My church is called ActRaiser and I'm going to worship all day. So yeah, I managed to clear it as a kid. I was kind of curious coming back in, like, oh man, I got old guy reflexes. Is this going to work out?
But yeah.
I beat it in like 3 hours and 36 minutes, I think was my time.
Holy crap.
Yeah. Right.
You had that shit figured out.
But yeah, there wasn't a lot of games. There wasn't a lot of games back then, so like you kind of just had to keep playing. Again, we got games twice a year, birthday and Christmas. Otherwise, you were fucked. So I played it a lot as a kid, and I guess there's parts of my brain now that are permanently dedicated to being good at ActRaiser, as weird and sad as that is.
It will never go away. It's like just firmly entrenched.
It's forever a part of your being.
It is. It's a good part of my being. So
those dendrites are solid.
They're locked in. So how far did you get, James?
Oh, no. Like, I never got past the first level.
No.
Okay, you never got to the city sim?
No, I got to the city sim. I did that. I was in that first city sim, but I didn't beat it because it got real tedious. I don't know. I lost interest during the city sim.
It looks like you're building a Zelda map.
Yeah, I didn't really understand the point of what I was doing. Stuff just kept spawning.
Well, you see, there are monster layers on each map. And
and you have to
most of them. It was just the dragons kept spawning and then shooting my cherub, and then I'd stop being able to shoot. And I didn't know why most of those things were happening. As I was down to like the last two monster layers.
You're just like, fuck it. Tanzra wins. Tanzra / Satan.
Yeah. Yep. That's exactly what happened.
We're going to let him win.
Do you know if you direct your lightning bolt at the cluster of rocks in the forest to the right of the first village, you can find a source of magic there, James?
Did you accidentally discover that as a kid?
Yes.
Wow. You were just throwing miracles all over the place.
Well, there's no internet, and this game was not in any kind of Nintendo Power, and no one was talking about it. So everything in this game I had to self-discover. And granted, it's not too... It's not really complex. There's nothing as obscure as like crouching next to a cliff for 5 seconds to go on Castlevania style, but
Yeah.
What about you, Hunter? How far did you get? Tell me you got farther than the first world at least.
I beat the entire thing, actually.
Yes.
Go, Hunter.
Yes. You make me proud.
Nicely played.
Yeah. I enjoyed the city sim. Well, at first I didn't enjoy it because I was just wandering around as a cherub, and I was like, oh, I'm playing as a fat winged baby. This is a nice game. And then, turns out you could shoot arrows, and that changed everything. I had no idea you could kill enemies as a cherub. So after that, things got a bit easier. Yeah.
After you discovered you could fight the enemy.
What was your hardest boss fight? What was the most frustrating for you then?
That gosh darn jumping Minotaur and the Speedo.
Oh yeah, this you kind of just have to accept the fact that he's going to hit you. You can jump his axes and get one hit in, but it's like the Act 2 boss. It's not worth the time. You just have to sit there and tank the hits.
I actually thought it was interesting because you know the spell Starstorm or Stardust?
You mean the best spell in the fucking game? I am familiar with that spell.
I just saved all three charges of it till the boss, and then used that and killed all the bosses pretty much.
Yeah, that was one of the negatives, I would say. Like, I wish all the different spells were competitive. Like, some of them are not good at all. Like that little, what is that? That little light pillar that comes up out of the sky and then flies off to either side and does no damage. He goes, "Ha ha! You wasted your magic, you piece of shit."
Yeah, I think it's called like Lunar Beam or something.
Yeah. Oh god, that's the eighth spell, and then I'm trying to remember some of the other ones. The Starfall was really good. The Fire one's
Fireball.
The Fire one's okay on certain bosses. But I used it on the Pig Wheel boss and it tears him up.
Oh, I hated that one. Pig Wheel boss.
But yeah, it was pretty much Starfall all day every day.
Well, then the game punishes me for using Starfall all the time, because at the final stage where you have to fight each boss in a row.
Oh, you didn't know to save your magic because you only have a certain amount for the whole fucking fights?
Yeah, I didn't have enough magic to just spam Starfall.
Is that how that goes on that one?
That's a rookie mistake. Yep. All right, look, I guess we'll explain it because those two didn't get to get that far. But essentially, when you've beaten all the worlds, there's the first area, then there's basically a swamp, a desert. There's basically a world for each type, jungle, ice. And once you clear off, the Isle of Death, or whatever it's called, rises up out of the ocean. And then you go there and you fight Tanzra. But before you fight him, you have to fight all the bosses in the game back to back to back to back. With only your health bar and only a certain that amount of magic. You have to clear all the bosses and Tanzra. And he has two forms because, you know, why not?
Because that's how it is now.
Yeah.
It's not even his final form.
And certain bosses are much harder than others. Like, for instance, Hunter made the rookie mistake of wasting his magic early. That flying Egypt serpent boss is a pain to deal with without the Starfall, and the ice dragon, too.
Oh, the purple one?
Yeah, it looks like a mix, the little India dude where he has the spikes under his ass and he slams the ground and... Yeah, the floating snake guy.
I didn't have any trouble with him.
Well, I mean, he's not hard per se. He just takes way too long without starting.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I heard that the jumping mechanic was absolutely atrocious. Is that the case?
I wouldn't say it's atrocious. I wish it could have been.
It's not user friendly.
It's pretty tight. Like, I wish it was just a little bit more floaty. It doesn't seem like you have a lot of like left and right momentum when you're. You don't get a nice floaty Luigi jump.
Okay.
First off, but also just the way the jumps end up working is not like, I've played other platformers, I know how to jump in this game. No, it sounds weird, but it jumps differently than other games. And so you spend a lot of the first level like, oh, well, I thought I was going to make that, but I didn't, so I guess I got to fight these things I thought I was going over.
Hey, but at least when you jump, you put your sword behind your head like you're going to come down all super... awesome style. It looks way badass when you're jumping.
And in all fairness, you are playing as a golem.
It's true.
It's true.
You're just a big rock jumping around.
Not good at jumping.
Which is weird considering enemies, the little dwarves that throw rocks at you hurt you.
Oh yeah. Train of thought. Derailed.
Least favorite boss or enemy?
My emulator.
Which... I use Z-SNES. I don't know if you tried that one, but that's the one I've been having success with.
I'll have to look up the one I was trying to use. ZSNES?
Yeah, is the super one that I use. I guess my least favorite is probably that little snake with the butt spikes, just because it takes a long time. None of the enemies were that challenging or difficult. It's just some like, oh, this one's going to take me 5 minutes as opposed to the other ones.
Tedious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it would, I guess I remember it being longer as a kid. That was another negative. It felt like it was way short, obviously. Because 3 hours and some change I'd finish. How long did it take you to finish it up?
Not sure. I wasn't really timing myself. I knew it took at least 3 hours, so you probably beat me in terms of time.
It felt like it had been, if it was padded out a little bit, like I wanted more of it, there just wasn't. Like, oh, this is so good, but it is a bite-sized morsel. Or maybe like a new game plus or something.
Did you feel bad whenever villagers died? Because I sure did.
Oh yeah, like the bat swoops down, and like I don't understand that one. Like when the bat carries your villagers off, it's like three of them, but they're like a daisy chain of dudes. I'm like, are they?
If I'm going down,
yeah,
I'm taking you with me.
Why are you holding on? It wasn't too bad.
I was mostly just haste up trying to take my stuff, and actually feeling bad when they got taken.
Okay, so you were viewing stop it like a. Property. Like an actual deity. Like, hey, quit fucking with my toys.
Those are mine. Fuck off.
You're messing with my things. You're slowing down my level progression.
How many times do I have to tell you guys, don't touch my things?
Touching my things.
Did you find it confusing at all, Hunter, when they started to have you do quests, and you pick up the item in one area, but they have to use it in another?
Yeah, like, these desert people, they were like, oh, there's a plague. We're all dying. We need herbs. And I was like, oh, you live in a desert. Where am I going to find these? So I spent like 30 minutes using every single miracle on the land until I realized, all right, you know what? I'm content with this. They can just die in a plague. And then they give me the solution. So, yeah.
Yeah, there's a couple times like that. You have to, yeah, you get the herbs from the jungle island. You have to give the music from the desert people after they're happy that you saved them. Then you take said music and give it to the blood pool people who are rioting because you've been driving them like a slave master.
That sounds about right.
Yep. It was a good time. I did not regret going back to that game. And I will probably go back to it every 10 years or so.
You know, I'm actually going to try, even after this podcast, to go in and play that sucker, because I'd really like to.
It's definitely worth it. And then playing that one kicked off a whole, like, nostalgia series. I'm like, oh, God. And so I downloaded all of the games I had as a kid. You know what? Most of those are bad. And and not good, like Actraiser was.
Oh, I hate the game, but that's just because I hate all platformers, and it is a side-scrolling platformer, at least in half.
But it's got some SimCity stuff, and you love SimCity. Except for the new one, but it didn't work for like 3 days, and you and Justin were raging about it.
Yeah, that was awful. No, the SimCity stuff was interesting, but what I really did appreciate was the detail they put into the levels in this game.
Oh, yeah.
The scenic detail?
The scenic detail, the different ways you could move through a map, because there's usually one or two different levels you could be moving through, all of the different actual animations and background objects that actually you could walk on. It's just, they put a lot of detail in it. Way more than you'd expect from a game made, I'm sorry, what was the date of its creation?
91. It was...
It's a real pretty game.
It was early mid-super. Like, it wasn't even a late super game. So, like, it was pretty cool to see how much they were pushing it. But yeah, ActRaiser. All our viewers out there should do yourself a favor and play it.
Gonna give it a shot.
Right after Clue Clue Land.
We could blow this game forever, but let's shift over to Legend. A game that's a little more well known. I'm talking about Legend of Zelda.
You damn right you are. The Legend of Zelda, 1986, one of the best years of any generation. Because of, I mean, just look for 1 second. Just do an IMDb list for 1986. You blow your mind. So this game is in fitting company. It's the first of 18 different Zelda games.
Oh, there's that many.
The new one, yeah. As of 2016, the Zelda franchise sold 75 million units. Shigeru Miyamoto, who created Mario, this is another one of his. You've got your Link, your Princess Zelda, your Ganon is your bad guy. And, you know, featuring the whole Triforce of Wisdom stuff. Now, this game was the first console game to feature a save function that let you stop and resume play later.
Okay, I was thinking that, but I wasn't sure. I was hoping that you would answer my question, and you did.
This was the very first one. Now, interestingly enough, the very iconic Zelda theme wasn't originally part of the plan. It was supposed to have Bolero as the title theme, that was supposed to be the deal, but the copyright hadn't expired yet. So the composer, Koji Kondo, wrote the entire current arrangement, the overworld view, in one day.
What?
He cranked that sucker out. This game was inspired by Miyamoto's childhood, him running through the forests and discovering a cave near his home, which he then explored with a lantern. And so he kind of threw those elements in there from his childhood.
Hey, you know, there was orcs chasing him and spiky beetles that shot rocks.
Oh my god, spears, and then like the levels repeated and he got lost. So,
yeah. And he had to kill the wildlife. Yep.
Oh my god, all the time. Those octorocks.
Burn bushes.
He's like, where are my conical shaped bug flowers at?
Gots to find them. Where are my spinning blades that float through the sands?
Ugh.
I hate those so much. It was in... Okay, so the name Zelda was taken from F. Scott Fitzgerald's wife.
Oh, okay.
He had read about her, and then he used the name. He kind of stole it. Link and the Fairy were taken and inspired by Peter Pan and Tinkerbell. And the Master Sword was taken directly from Arthurian legend. Like, it is Excalibur, including the pulling it from the stone. So...
Which makes sense because I don't know if you guys noticed, but there is a cross on your shield in this one.
Yeah.
Yep.
Totally. So the original game is the fourth best-selling NES game of all time. And Robin Williams named his daughter Zelda after this game. Lots of athletes and stuff talk about this game in interviews. Like, you know, what do you do in your downtime? They say, you know, Legend of Zelda is their favorite. There's even a pro wrestler that has the Triforce on his boots when he goes in and fights. I want to see how many of you remember this. Link and Zelda, they have appeared in numerous episodes of Captain N, the Game Master.
Fuck yeah. I had the full run of graphic novels, and I religiously watched the show. I might still have them, honestly.
Oh my god, that's awesome. Yeah. That show was crazy good. The belt buckle with the Nintendo paddle.
Yeah, his zapper and glove, and he teams up with all the iconics. So you got your Mario, the Samus, yep. Link.
Oh my god. So Lack Attack 24, from what I could see, holds the speedrun record for 28 minutes, 50 seconds.
Yep.
That's insanity.
After I played the game, I watched the speedrun. I'm like, dear god.
Like, USA.
It was nuts. Like, he hardly ever pushes blocks out of the way. Like, I guess there's a way you can swing your sword and then you glitch through the blocks. And there's, like, this crazy warp pattern. Like, you go left but then right again, you actually skip the whole screen. It was nuts watching him.
Yeah, it's just balls out crazy. But, yeah, one of my favorite games ever. But, and I hate to say this, the replay value for this game for me, I still loved it. I still very much, like, enjoyed the game. This is Zelda. But it had more aggravation for me now as an adult than it did.
Don't feel like you're alone. I felt the exact same way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ditto.
I mean, I
absolutely loved Zelda, but I was like, man, this is frustrating the shit out of me. I beat Dungeon 3, and then I called it. I was like, and I'm done.
What about you, Hunter?
Not sure how many, dungeons I beat. I just know how many, heart containers I got.
How many did you get?
Six.
Ah, okay.
Six.
So that would have awesome. That would have. So you cleared three then. You cleared the first three dungeons. If you didn't find any random ones, because there are a certain number of random hearts you can find.
I don't think I did actually.
What about you, what about you, James?
Hmm?
How far did you make it? I know we talked about it before Adam jumped in, but now that we're on the record.
Got to level six.
Yep.
And fuck that dungeon, because I did not get the blue ring. And without the blue ring, you cannot do that dungeon.
Well done, dude. Good job.
I'm going to go ahead and flex a little bit. I cleared it.
Yeah, you did.
Full clear.
That's awesome.
Can I just say, my proudest moment of playing this game, I didn't remember how to get through the fucking endless maze forest for a long time.
Yep. Northwest,
then I found that little old lady. It was just like, oh, north, west, south, west. It's that easy.
Right? Yeah, you're like, oh my god, you've been telling us this entire time. We've just been ignoring you because we were kids and didn't care about compasses.
Up, left, down, left. Shit.
Yeah, I didn't have a good time clearing it. It took me like 6 hours, and I had like a really bad headache by the time I finished. But like, I gotta finish this thing. I gotta do
other
it.
Other fun fact. I didn't remember how to save
for a really
long time. So every time I died, I was just starting over in the beginning.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God, dude.
And I figured out the reason I could not get to the save menu was I miss set the buttons when I was doing the key binding part. So I just didn't have the button that would bring up the save menu at all.
Oh, that would do it.
That's heinous.
Also, when you die, you can just hit continue. You know that, right? And it'll just put you right back where you left off. Okay.
But what that ends up meaning is you have to find your way through the fucking world again every time.
Oh, yeah. It's not so bad when you get the flute out of the sixth dungeon, I believe it was in. Six or seven. And then you can...
Do you mean the magic wand?
No, that's right. The wand was in six. The flute was in five then?
I didn't get it.
I'm pretty sure it was in...
Ditto.
Five. Because you use it to access the seventh dungeon. You can also blow the whistle or flute or whatever it is, and you can warp it. Like, it'll cycle you through the dungeons, which was a really handy tool for when you died and had to go back.
Hmm.
But yeah, this game was mad frustrating. Yeah. Way more frustrating than I remembered it being as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, as a kid, I was just all up in it, you know? Like, it was a day-after-day-after-day thing because I could save and I could come back to it later, and so I could take it in those doses. But now, as an adult, I'm like, Jesus.
Yeah, the problem was it's the difficulty's all over the place. It goes from, like, being kind of fun and casual, like your first two dungeons. I'm like, oh, man, this is badass, the music and the dungeons. Mm-hmm. And,
oh, yeah, can we, I'm having we a good talk time. About that?
About what?
The music.
Yeah, good
right?
stuff.
Yes, I didn't really notice it before, but the score from this game influenced Nintendo soundtracks for all the years to come.
Oh yeah,
it's really iconic, and they've sampled from it numerous times.
Like the noise of just you walking around is so similar to the same music that's used in Pokemon. It's not exactly the same, but it's you can hear the influence for it.
Yeah.
Mm. Also the. What's the movie? Scott Pilgrim versus the World. They use sound effects from Zelda like several times. Like when he opens the chest,
it's oh yeah,
the fairy fountain sound effect, and yeah. So this gets sampled a lot.
But yeah, it goes from being really fun. Like the first two dungeons, I think, are really good, and then dungeon three is when you hit the first difficulty spike.
Yep.
Holy shit. And, like, if you don't have the white sword, you can just go ahead and forget it, because those Armos guys out of the third level will just chew you apart. They're
so rough.
I think it takes, like, three hits to kill the orange ones without the... Or it might be more, I don't remember. I remember,
they're
like...
Their random direction changes and stuff, like, it just...
And if there's a number of them on screen, they just play Link Pinball, and you're just like, oh,
I'm
going back to the beginning. All aboard the failure train. Toot, toot.
Oh
yeah, so I went in there because I've like bits and pieces of this were coming back to me as I'm playing it. And there's an ass load of secrets in this game too, by the way. So I didn't remember.
I hated that.
So I remembered where the white sword was. So I went there to get it. It's like, you must master using this. I'm like, what does that mean, weird cave guy? Just give me the fucking sword. Turns out you have to have 5 heart pieces to get the white sword, which I didn't figure out right away. So I was like, ah, fuck it. I'll just do dungeon 3 and I'll come back and maybe that's what the key is. And yeah, trying to do Dungeon 3 without the White Sword was no good. I had to pull out and...
Yeah. You gotta pull out and glove up.
Yeah, and then 4 or 5 aren't too bad. 6 is probably the hardest thing in the whole game.
And I don't remember 6. You're gonna have to refresh me.
6 is the graveyard dungeon. And you get the wand out of it, but it's where it introduces you to those fucking wizards. Where they teleport around the screen and they shoot that little thing at you. And it does massive damage. God. Like it,
yeah.
You take yeah,
the, you don't the, have the triple beam that like.
Yeah.
So I didn't have the blue ring, so I was instantly killed.
Yeah.
Yeah. The blue wizards, they'll chain them. They'll shoot 3 out, and each time those hit you without the blue ring, you're taking 4 health or 4 hearts worth of damage. I think is what it was. I'm not 100% sure, but yeah, like they'll just about one shot you without the blue ring, which is for 250 rupees. In a cave to the left of the fourth dungeon that you have to have the raft that you get out of the third dungeon anyway.
Yep, good sweet raft. I'm like, I'm not going to use this because I'm quitting this game.
What I hated slightly more than the wizards was the blob things. Can't remember the actual name for them, but they would just eat you up and then they would spit you out and you wouldn't have a shield anymore.
Oh, yeah, the shield. You'd have to... I don't know what they're called, but...
The Like-likes? Is that it?
Like-likes, yeah, that's it.
Yep. We referred to them as the motherfucking shield-eating waffles. That's what we call them. But it was super accurate. Ridiculous and over the top because we were kids and, you know, we were just trying out swearing. It's like, motherfucking Waffles ate my shield. I'm like, don't be mad, Ryan. We'll just have to save up 90 rupees and buy another one.
That's 160.
Awesome. Oh, no, sir. There's a 90 shield. You just didn't find it.
Oh. Correct him.
Yeah, there's probably like a good 30 or more like hit the caves you can bomb with stores inside of them, and they all have rangy prices. Yeah, paying 160 for that shield is for suckers.
Yeah, that's something I didn't like about the game, all the secrets.
Yeah.
There's a ton. And this I mean, with the length of play expected out of this game when it first came out, how many guides there were, how many like call this number and we'll give you a hint type of bullshit that was going on.
Oh god, yeah. Like, so Hunter and Jay,
they were milking that.
They're not familiar with it, but as kids, me and Adam, there was no internet, and if you didn't have a Nintendo Power subscription, but Nintendo also did this awful thing where you could pay a certain number of dollars per minute and call a video game tip line. That used to be a thing.
They didn't make your parents call.
Man,
they would charge you money.
It's because microtransactions have always been a part of the industry.
That's true. Yeah.
Anyway, go on.
No, it's
well, I didn't like the candle mechanism with the burning the certain trees to get into secrets.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of those.
Yep.
That's a lot.
I was just honestly using it to light up rooms for a while. I didn't understand what the candle was for. It took me out.
Yep. You Although guys said I couldn't fact, look through walkthroughs.
I think.
Yeah.
No walkthroughs.
Yeah, so that's why I had to light every tree on fire.
Oh, God.
But I only had the blue candle, so I had to leave the screen, then come back and leave.
Oh,
repeat.
My God.
Preach it, brother. Preach the hatred of the blue candle.
It's all coming back. I'm like, Jesus, no.
The blue candle is what Satan uses to ferry your soul into hell.
Yep.
Yes, that is the River Styx, and you use the blue candle.
You're fired, Karen. What? Yeah, this blue candle is going to replace you. No, not the blue candle. I'm out of here. Yeah, that was another issue I had with the game, aside from the really spiky, all-over-the-place difficulty, was some of the items were just bullshit. Like, they didn't feel like they did enough or were just weird. Like, the blue candle only be able to burn once on a screen, and then you just had to rescreen it. Like, that doesn't add anything interesting or difficulty. It's just tedious. Like, it's just
it's supposed to add the whole like, oh, I've got something better now I don't have to do that bullshit I did before. Like, you were supposed to be perfectly fine with the old way, but then the new way was like turbo. But when you're replaying it, you're like, oh god, just give me one candle and let it do what it's supposed to do.
And I could have, like, I wouldn't have minded it, like, okay, progression RPGs, whatever, if they had to put the blue candle or the red one a little sooner than fucking the seventh dungeon, or seventh dungeon.
I never got it.
You don't get the red candle till dungeon 7. I'm like, what the fuck is this? Like, what good is this gonna do me now? Like, now I'm practically into the game. And that was another thing, too. Like, you get this crazy badass upgrade to the wand, but you don't get it till the eighth dungeon, which is, like, that's the end of the game, basically. Like, 9 is Death Rock and Ganon. And, like, basically it makes your wand have a candle effect after you shoot it, which is really convenient. But, again, like, thanks for making the last 20 minutes of this game convenient, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Also, can we just talk about the, I don't know how to phrase this, non-linearity of the game? Possible to wander into an area that you were not leveled for.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
Like, I did that a
and
lot.
I did that once. Like, I'm like, that's not the right place.
Oh, look at all these cute goat people I found in the mountains. Oh, God, they're shooting their swords with power.
I'm going to die now.
Fun fact, I got to level 6. But before I got to level 6, back when all I had were all of the base shit, I also got to level 6 again. Before I realized I should go to the other dungeons first. And I did this without saving, so I kept, like, camping at the Blue Fairy Pond.
You were rocking it, man. Holy crap.
And I was just basically making attack runs on the fucking Death Star of getting to this goddamn dungeon. And I quit playing multiple times at that point. Just before I figured out how to get through the magic forest, I started going through it like, oh, this is a huge area, and these all look the same, and oh, son of a bitch.
Oh, yeah.
It took me a while to remember how to get to the fifth dungeon as well in the mountains. You have to keep going up like 5 straight times instead of left or right.
Yep.
Mm. Mm.
So basically, it was very important and influential in the gaming industry. It's one of the ancestors of all modern gaming and all of Nintendo's music, I think.
Yeah.
But I fuck mean, Zelda.
It's got its good stuff. Like, it's still, it's not a bad game. It's just it suffers from being a product of the of that time. Like, games were refined. Like, we didn't know any better. Like, please put this hot load on my chest. I don't mind, and I'll pay you for the experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is one of the greatest influences this game had, was convincing people to make better games.
Yeah, I wish they would have taken all of, like, the side items and sprinkled them in the map, and then just kept the stuff in the dungeons that you found. That would that would just let you progress to the next dungeon. Because then you could have found, like, the blue ring, the red ring. You could have found stuff that would have made your... It would have rewarded you for exploring.
It would have rewarded you for exploring, and they would have been able to make it so that you followed a particular path to get somewhere. It would have given you a little more focus.
But yeah, if you hated Six and Rage Quit, man, you should have made it to Death Rock. You should have made it to the ninth dungeon. But, you know the map screen in the upper left, like when you pause it and it comes down, and it usually it's pretty small? Death Rock is that whole screen. Like, there's that many rooms. And then each room is basically filled with motherfucking shield waffles and wizards. Every room. And the rooms that aren't are just filled with bosses. So I hope you like the Goma or the fly thing. I will say the bosses, we didn't hit on that, but I really enjoyed the boss variety. Like, it was pretty
cool. Yeah. Yeah, they had a really great variety. Also, the strats for each boss. I mean, you had to, you would try different things. And I can't, oh my God. Originally, as a kid, just how many times I tried to fight that damn Triceratops until I figured out, you got to plant the bomb in front of it.
Dodongo.
Yeah, Dodongo.
Oh, that mother.
Yeah, in Death Rock, you fight screens of three of those at a time.
Yep.
I forgot that.
That's bullshit.
And if they move, which they're prone to do in the later levels, they'll turn left and right a lot more. You just end up wasting your bombs. You're like, well, I'm going to fight you with hopes and dreams now because all my fucking bombs are gone.
Right.
And then you have to leave the screen and farm bombs and then come back. It's just a whole lot of frustration.
Sounds like you had a blast.
Oh, there you go again.
That pun blew me away.
Watch out, people. Explosive comedy.
Holy shit, there's three of them now. Oh, I'm not gonna do one.
Fair enough.
Maybe because I have something to say. So the Zelda timeline, right? That's daunting.
Oh, yeah.
They actually released an official in 2011. So here's how it goes, right? So The Legend of Zelda, this game we're playing now, is not the oldest part of the story. So it's way toward the future. So what we're going, you're going all the way back to like Skyward Sword, then Minish Cap, then Four Swords, then Ocarina of Time. Now, Ocarina of Time, at the end of that game, splits the timeline into three.
Yep.
So you have, if you beat Ocarina of Time and then you kill Ganon, well, the Link defeats Ganon childhood branch, where he's still a child, is followed directly by Majora's Mask, then Twilight Princess, then Four Swords Adventures. Now, Link defeats Ganon adult branch is Wind Waker, Phantom Hourglass, and Spirit Tracks. But if Link fails to defeat Ganon at the end of Ocarina of Time, you get A Link to the Past, Oracles, Link's Awakening, Legend of Zelda, this game, then Legend of Zelda 2.
What?
Yeah.
Nice.
This is one of the three branches after Ocarina of Time and near the end of that branch.
So have you guys played a lot of Zeldas, or is this it?
I've played Ocarina and Twilight Princess.
Yep. That's it, though.
You were the Link Defeats Ocarina, game childhood branch.
Majora's. I played Majora's. A lot. And I played a shit ton of Wind Waker.
Oh, yeah, Wind Waker. That was a good one.
I played them all up until I started to get crazy with the hand. Like, I didn't play any of the handhelds, and I didn't play anything on the Wii, because Wiis are for small children.
Hey, I like the Wii. Aw,
I like the Wii.
Sorry, and pedophiles.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
I hope I still qualify as a small child then.
As Anthony would say. Like, hey, Anthony, you getting a Wii? No, they're for small children and pedophiles. All right.
Thanks, Anthony.
And he appreciate that.
That's a strong reply.
Like, yeah.
There's not a lot of comebacks to that.
He's got a lot of, like, his delivery is pretty deadpan, and he's like, oh, all right. I guess
so. Most every game, most every Zelda game features Link as left-handed.
Yes.
Except for like a couple, and those were the Wii games because it was mirroring you holding the controller in your right hand, so it put the sword in his right hand.
Hmm.
Why do you got to take stuff away from the left-handed man?
Right?
Well, I like, pissed my wife off.
Are you saying that if you played left-handed, it would wield the sword left-handed?
No.
No.
You would just be playing Goofy Hand. That's all.
That's dumb.
And right
that
power.
Would have been really cool. That could have been really like, oh, you've got this particular nunchuck in your hand, so this is the way you'll hold the sword and the shield. That
would I would love to have seen Link on screen just like move the sword to his other hand and then test it, and then you continue on. Like, that would be right? Awesome.
That would have been a cool step. But, oh well.
Nope.
No. Story of Nintendo's life, missing opportunities.
There it is.
Repeating the same things and missing opportunities.
So yeah, Legend of Zelda, part of the failure timeline, but loved it. I even saw a few episodes of the animated series that came out in 89.
Yep.
Yeah, good stuff.
It was all right. I keep hoping for like a Zelda anime or a Zelda movie, live action of some kind.
So good.
There was rumors of a live action, but I'm guessing it fell apart.
Yeah, that rumor was what, 3 or 4 years ago?
Yeah, it's been a while.
But the Castlevania anime, that's happening, guys.
I'm ready.
Just FYI, that's big in the news right now. The crew behind Adventure Time, I think, if I remember correctly, and the guy who did like the Dread remake, the new Dread movie that was actually good with Carl Urban.
Yeah.
They're making a Castlevania series, and they're doing it like uber violent, gritty. Like, he's going full Ninja Scroll Akira with Castlevania. I'm stoked.
I'm ready for it.
Yeah. Yep, that does sound good.
I hope somewhere in the series Simon finds a turkey inside a wall for some reason.
Right? Thank give, you, yes.
Give me that. Wall meats. More fill my castle with turkeys so that I might eat them later.
With turkeys?
There's not enough turkeys in my mortar.
That's why my house is crumbling.
At one point, a vampire hunter will come and he will break them. He needs to be nourished. Nourish him with the wall meat.
Oh, God.
Nourish him with the wall meat. Can we? Oh, dear God.
Back up those Oscar Mayer trucks and make room. My castle is built upon sandwiches.
Oh. I do love the game. I'm going to play ActRaiser one of these days.
Hell yeah, you are.
Mark my words. We'll have to revisit that when I finally go, hey, it was awful. But no.
Oh. Yeah, I was Zelda. I was like, yeah, both these games are going to be great. I'm excited. I'm going in. ActRaiser was a blast. And I pop in Zelda. I'm like, why does my head hurt? And I don't want to do this anymore.
Right? It's another long game that you've got to put in time.
Like, this is frustrating. Games are supposed to be fun.
Now you know how I feel every single time I play a platformer.
Okay. In honor of this frustration, I think the next ones we're going to tackle, we're going to keep the Zelda train going.
Yeah?
We're going to do Zelda 2, which I'm excited for, because I've never played that one.
Okay, I've never played more than like 20 minutes of Zelda 2.
I know that one's a side-scroller, and it's fucking weird as shit, so I'm kind of curious to play it. Like, when I was eight, the neighbor's family, like the mom and dad, were playing it a lot, but I never got to. So this will be, we'll be making up for that. And then, so we'll do that one, and then we're going to do A Link to the Past, the Super Nintendo one.
Ooh, Link to the Past.
Which is probably my favorite Zelda. Hunter and James haven't played it, so I'm excited for that. It's probably the best Zelda game, in my opinion. The one I like the most.
Wow, that's okay. High praise.
Yeah. Like, my friend let me borrow it. I think we were in fifth grade when that one was out, and I accidentally deleted a save file, which is a big faux pas when your buddy loans you a massive game that takes a bunch of time to complete, and it's a pain in the ass. So then I had, like, I only had the weekend, so I had to completely beat the game, find all of the secrets, and then name it the same as he had it, so that when I gave it back to him, he wasn't like, you piece of shit, you're never borrowing a game again.
Yeah.
Wow.
But yeah, it's probably the best Zelda game.
So, so that everybody's on the same page, now, we've played Legend of Zelda. Legend of Zelda 2 is a direct sequel, according to timeline and game release. But then we're going to go back, we're going to go back four games to A Link to the Past. That's going to be immediately after Ocarina of Time if you fail to defeat Ganon. So that's where you're at right there.
Which, I don't know what that says about me as a person, but all of my favorite Zelda games are from the dark defeated timeline. Oh god, Link to the Past is so good. I hope you guys are ready to catch chickens with a net.
Ugh.
Oh boy.
Everybody's ready for that.
Get your sprint shoes on to catch that thief so you can get a heart piece from him. And remember, to fill your heart so you can shoot your sword with power.
Fill it hard.
Alright. Well, I think that's it. We loved one and did not love another one. I'm giving my child self a stern look, like, you should have better standards.
Hey, there was understanding, though, nowadays. Like we knew what we were getting into, and we were able to see, like, okay, these are pros and cons, and legit take the glasses off of childhood and view it for the way it really is.
Okay. Oh, I'm going to throw another game at you guys for the next in the queue. It's short. It's sweet. It won't cause you much stress. Mostly because it's ridiculous, and I want to hear James and Hunter rage about it. We're also going to play some Jaws.
Oh my god.
I just remembered that one.
Oh, dear lord.
Jaws, that's like the movie?
Yes.
It's going to be awful.
Oh, Dave.
It's important to note that video game movie tie-ins have always been bad.
They've always been always. Bad. And this is no exception. So I hope, I mean, when you think of Jaws, James, what do you think of?
No.
A shark, right? Well, no. In this game, you spend most of your time as an underwater diver with a spear gun shooting jellyfish to collect conchs that you then cash in at islands to make your ship better.
What the fuck is that got to do with Jaws?
Well, Jaws eventually shows up every now and then and, like, harasses you. You can't kill him because you have to level up by just shoveling bags of conchs into the economy. Like, oh, that's a massive mountain.
Say that again.
Just, oh, that's a massive mountain of conks you've got there. Here, take this radar upgrade. Here, take this spear gun upgrade. Oh, did you die? Well, that's unfortunate because now all your power levels have been reset. Bring us more conks.
Jesus.
I'm excited.
Oh, and the bonus levels, you are in a biplane dropping bombs onto schools of jellyfish while delightfully happy music plays.
What the fuck?
Yeah, you're in for a treat. And it only takes, like, if you know what you're doing, you can beat it in, like, 15 minutes. If you don't, you'll probably play it for 5 and then hate it, and that'll be fine, too. So don't stress about Jaws. Just sample it enough so that you can appreciate that movie tie-ins, as James said, have always been shitty. So we'll do that one, Zelda 2, and then A Link to the Past for the Super Nintendo.
Sweet. Sweet, we'll roll that one.
Yep.
Now, next episode, are we doing In the Queue?
Yeah, I believe it's In the Queue is up next, and you're going to be delivering us some choices. Do you have those?
You know, it's my turn, right?
All right. It is your turn.
Let's do this. So the movie we're going to do, guys, and write it down, Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
Yes, I have. It's pretty good.
James, have you?
No. Which shocks me, like the genre and styles that James likes, that he's never seen Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
I have no reason or excuse.
Just get really baked and watch it. You're going to have a damn good time.
It's going to be awesome. We're going to love to hear your notes. I'm going to have plenty. It's going to be fantastic. And then the TV show we're going to watch, we're going to do a pilot episode here.
I have a feeling this isn't going to be as good as Tucker and Dale.
Well, it really depends on who's seen it or not. The pilot episode of Danger 5.
Have not seen it. Not even familiar with it in the slightest.
Ditto. James, did you say you've seen it?
I have not seen it.
Hunter?
Never seen it. Or heard it.
Be happy. Okay, Danger 5, pilot episode, and Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
Why do I feel like you're leading us down into Uncle Touchy's naked puzzle basement?
because the stairs only go down one way, dude.
You got to remember, he owns a Wii.
We won't.
I do own a Wii. and on a sad note, guys, DC Legends of Tomorrow got renewed for another season.
Is there no God?
I don't.
Obviously
I think
not.
There is not.
Look at the Transformer movies and tell me there's a God.
Well, hey. The first one is all right. As sure as Matthew McConaughey loves to drive a Lincoln, the first Transformers movie is all right.
It is good. We like
and
the
second one.
Oh, they're flaming piles of shit after number one.
And what about the Transformers app game, David?
I love it. I can't play Transformers Earth Wars enough. That's a free plug-in, by the way.
We're gonna plug that.
They're not giving us money. Dave just really likes the game.
Do you like to poop? Do you like to phone? Well, then put the two and two together, and then you have it's a perfectly good game while you take a shit. Which I'm glad we live in the future now, where I can shit and play video games. This is what I've always wanted as a child.
This is the dream. This is the American.
You should
dream.
Have seen him when he got his first smartphone. His Windows phone, so he could get achievement points while pooping. It was ridiculous.
Sounds like you.
You have to try to time it so as you poop, it makes the achievement popping sound. That is the that's the ultimate of human experience. Like, I'm pretty sure that's why we were made. That's the meaning of life is not 42. It's pooping while getting an achievement sound.
Sounds like most of David's achievements are related to poop.
Oh.
I'm sorry, Dave.
Now I'm the saddest panda in France. Too stupid to fuck to live. Fuck to live, panda. You're going extinct. Well, I think that's it. So tune in next time when we watch Tucker and Dale versus Evil, which will be great, and Danger 5, which I feel like...
I only assume will be awful.
Which I feel like is the name of a task force where you go and show people on a dolly where you were touched.
it's the checkoff list that the doctor has to present. It's the Danger 5.
Ah, check. I see. Okay,
that's what it's going to be. Hunter, you said you had an outro.
Yeah, oh, yes. Lay us a sick outro, and then we'll get outro of here.
Remember, kids, do as Link does. If you find an old man in a cave, grab his sword.
It's dangerous to go alone.
Take this.
Link, fill up your hearts so you can shoot your sword with power.
Master this, then you can have it.
Oh my god. I did not even put that together.
Highlander in there.
Yep. There can be only one.
So just one Highlander, really. Just the one. Every time we get more than one, they kill each other and back down.
Oh man, they put the you two probably don't, but Adam remembers the Highlander TV show.
I remember it. Oh yep. My god, I remember it.
Yeah, they put it on Netflix. I tried to watch it. Yeah, not as good as I remember.
So bad. No. Yeah, so bad.
I think I've seen that, actually.
It's really fucking campy.
What's yeah, that? Is it the one... McLeod of the Clan McLeod? Here's the thing with Highlander. And I'm going to give you guys a little something. It's going to be brief. Highlander 1 was awesome. Highlander 2 was so bad it's been removed from canon. Highlander 3 was awful. 4,
isn't
5, and 6.
Isn't 2 the one with aliens?
You can roll up and throw out the window. The TV show didn't do much justice to the film at all. They kind of went different directions. Every time they have a new iteration of the film or the show, they changed the rules. At this point, throw it all away and remake the first one.
Yep.
That's where I'm at with
Highlander. I didn't realize they changed the rules every time. What the fuck?
They do. Oh, for real. Yeah. Like, I'm so sick of trying to figure out
I'm going to throw some stuff I can remember from the Highlanders just to give an example of how terrible we're talking about.
To live forever.
I'm pretty sure the second one involved aliens. Like, they were actually aliens or something. I don't know. Like Adam said, the second one is so bad it's been removed from canon. It's
they're terrible. They were like futuristic immortals, like prisoners. And they were sent back, and they had to like fight each other.
Oh, so they turned the world into Australia.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
No. So bad. I don't know which one it is, but I know there's one where there's an immortal who comes out and he's doing magic, but he's like a genie.
That's three. Oh, yeah. God. The Sorcerer or something.
I have not seen these.
They're bad. Oh, don't try them.
They're real bad. There was one where, like, for some reason, McCloud became not immortal, and then the other immortals who shouldn't have existed because the game was over killed him. And then there was, like, a whole movie of him coming back from the dead again, and it was, like, a big Jesus metaphor.
Yeah, and then he ends up, they actually try and resurrect, like, the series by bringing Connor back in, but then Connor sacrifices himself by making Duncan kill him and take his head.
Oh,
so
yeah, I did see that one.
But then there's some shitty sequels to that, which are just awful. So it's like post-apocalyptic.
I'm so happy that you've seen these, Adam, because I honestly thought some of what I was remembering was a fever dream.
No, it should have been. Like, if you were the only one to suffer the pain of these films, it would have been better for humanity. It's just bad. Just remake the first one, make it gritty as hell, and I will enjoy it. But no,
put Liam Neeson in as the. Yeah, he can still be the Spaniard. Fuck it, we'll keep the Scottish Spaniard thing. I liked it.
Right, the Scottish Spaniard? Gotta have that. My mother was Scottish. Just do whatever you want with that.
Yeah, who gives a shit?
All right, a moment of silence for how bad those movies are.